It's Friday, August 28th, and you're listening to the Geek News Central podcast. This show is sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Hey, everyone, got a great show for you. And yes, it's new intro time. Strap in. Here it comes.
All right, people, I need a go, no-go for the Geek News Central podcast. Digital archive recorders.
Go flight.
Music bed.
Go flight.
Microphone.
Go flight.
Video feed.
Go flight.
Web browser.
Go flight.
RSS data stream aggregator.
Go flight.
Interflux Toddism suppressor.
All right, I'm confused.
Host readiness check.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
The Geek News Central podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to go. Cue Todd in...
Five.
Button, who's got the button?
Four.
There is no cause for alarm.
Three.
Everybody hold on to something.
Two.
Just press the button.
One.
It's showtime.
Aloha and welcome to the Geek News Central podcast, coming to you as live as it can be from the beautiful state of Hawaii via the Geek News Central studio overlooking Greater Oahu. Hey everyone, welcome to the show, and yes, there is a new intro. Hope you guys like it. Congratulations to our contributor on that. We'll talk about Joe a little bit later in the show. Hope you guys like it, and if you don't, you're stuck with it for a while. Everyone, again, welcome to the show. My name is Todd Cochran. Make sure you get over to geeknewscentral.com. Check out all the great content over there. Of course, check out the archive podcasts available via the podcast link on the website. Make sure you get signed up for the show so that you get the show automatically delivered to your podcatcher, or actually to your mobile media device, whether it be your iPhone, your iPod Touch, your iPod, your BlackBerry, whatever it may be, get signed up and find a link to subscribe via the RSS feed on the website. And, of course, you can use your favorite podcatcher as well. Hey, you want to get signed up for the newsletter? That'll get you the show notes delivered directly to your inbox immediately following the show, with the exception of the last podcast, which I forgot to send the newsletter. I didn't press the button to actually have it sent, and so all of you didn't get the last newsletter, but that was my bust. I want to welcome the new listeners to the show. Of course, I want to give a warm welcome to all of the Ohana. Of course, if you're listening to the show for the very first time, welcome to the family. Welcome to the Ohana. Here in Hawaii, Ohana is the word Ohana is a very strong family. Basically, its meaning is simply family. And I want to welcome all of you to the greater Ohana here at Geek News Central. Of course, welcome the listeners from 155 countries worldwide. And I got a great show lined up for you. Hey, I got back into Honolulu this afternoon about 5:30. So really, I've been home about 3 hours. My wife picked me up from the airport and brought me home, and basically immediately came into the office, fired up the computers, and started getting the show prep ready. So really, not running too far behind. It, all things considered, for this evening. So I know that many of you are listening to the show, you know, maybe in the morning during your commute, or maybe in the evening. Doesn't matter when you listen, the most important thing that you are. And so I guess it really doesn't really even matter what time I record the show. Now, I've got a few people up on Ustream. Thanks for all of you that have come out and hung out as late as it is. And hope you enjoy the show tonight. Okay, I wanted to... on Monday, actually on Tuesday's show, I'm going to announce the time capsule winner. As you remember, on the 500th show, I basically set forth a challenge for all of you to send me an email on what you feel the what's going to, you know, where this podcasting space is going to be at in 5 years, or when we reach the 1,000th show. So the time capsule award will go out next Tuesday. I'll be giving away that $50 gift certificate to one of the submitters. We're not going to read any of the submissions on the show. All of them are going to go into the time capsule that I have been preparing, and they will stay there until show 1,000. So I look forward to that. Hey, my meetings in the Valley went pretty good. I had a number of meetings, bounced around a variety of places. I was pretty pleased with everything. Some very interesting discussions going out there. Really, it's been a while since I've been out in California, and the mindset is really, you know, I guess the best way to describe it as companies that are doing good and are profitable, are finally getting the attention they deserve. Companies that have an actual business model that makes money are actually getting some attention, which is was pretty curious. So I had some great meetings, some great discussions. There is some concerns continuing in the podcasting space overall. I had met with the companies talking about that. But overall, I'm pretty pleased with the meetings out there. If you are going out to the Mountain View or going out to the San Jose area, I'm going to give 5 stars to the Hilton San Jose at the convention center. Now, while it's not I wanted to stay somewhere where there's a lot of restaurants and stuff, but really I was really didn't have any experience staying in San Jose for a long time, and I just kind of, you know, I wanted to stay at a Hilton to continue to acquire my Hilton awards points and also get my days in so that I can maintain some of my award statuses. And so I just picked a Hilton there downtown. Bandwidth was beautiful. I didn't have a concern. It was, I would say that was my best stay at a Hilton in several years. So kudos out to those folks at the Hilton there in San Jose. So if you're looking for a good hotel, if you're heading out in that area, that's the best place to stay. Now, that's about 20 miles. Where I was staying was actually 20 miles from Sand Hill Road. So, you know, really kind of a, you know, the place where all the venture capitalists and stuff hang out. Not all of them, of course, but what's been famous locations. So not too far of a commute to get up there and having different types of meetings and so forth. So I'm real pleased with the trip. And I'll be going back out to California probably in a couple weeks. But this time I'm going to be down in the L.A. area, probably in and around Santa Ana. It's really, and it's not even going to be really truly LA. It'll be the southern part of LA, right on the border there of before it breaks into, you know, that high desert area between LA and really, I guess, San Diego. But I'll be staying there for probably a week doing some business. So I'll be heading out there. And if we've got Ohana that's in the Los Angeles greater area, definitely let me know. We'll do some sort of a meetup. Did have a meetup last night with just had a couple of people show up. Had Tom, one of our longtime listeners of the show. Of course, he's also the host of the Fog View podcast. And then Chris came out from the Amateur Traveler podcast. So we had some great Mexican food at On the Border in Milipitas. And it was a great discussion, really did. And Chris and I had to take care of a little business about an hour before Tom showed up. We took care of that, and Tom actually got a peek at a couple things that we've got cooking. So more on that in some upcoming shows. But I had a great time with those guys. It was great hooking up with them. Of course, we're just probably now, let me look at the calendar, we're a month and a half away from Blog World and New Media Expo. So I'm really looking forward to getting out to Las Vegas, and we're really ramping up our planning for that event. We're going to be having a pretty cool party out there. So if you're going to be out at Blog World, the Blueberry crew, Raw Voice crew, we're going to be having a great party for you to come out and hang out. Lots of cool stuff cooking. We've got some folks working on the entire event, and should be a lot of fun. I've been collecting some information from some of our podcasters at Blueberry on a upcoming project that we're working on, or a new site that we're putting into consideration of launching. I'll be making probably after our meeting next week, we'll probably be ready to move forward and start soliciting information from listeners. And we'll be talking a little bit more about that when we're ready to proceed. But I got some exciting stuff coming down the pike. Just everything's busy we're just crazy busy here as usual. So nothing's new. Just besides that, family's doing good. And I got a lot of tech for you tonight and a lot of stuff in the news. Tomorrow's a big day for the Apple users, of course. We've got a new operating system, an update to an operating system coming out. Talk a little bit about that here in the show tonight. But all of this would not be possible without our sponsors here. Hey, if you're looking for a domain name, a dedicated server, virtual dedicated server, shared hosting account, really, when you go over to GoDaddy.com, that's the place to go to find great products and services to be online, and you can save a lot of money by using my promo codes. Now, if you come to my website at Geek News Central, you'll find a link to my GoDaddy promo codes, and there's a code really there for everybody. And if you're renewing a domain name, if you're buying a non-domain product, if you're getting a hosting account, I've got some great codes there for you to use. Of course, that Todd20 code will save you 20% on a one-year shared hosting account. And Todd will save you 10%. Geek5 will save you 15% on orders $20 or more. ComSale will get you a domain name for $749. So thanks for GoDaddy for being a continued sponsor here at Geek News Central. Now, I think if everything goes right, we're going to have a roundtable this coming Saturday. I need to get in touch with Andy tomorrow, Andy McCaskey over at SDR News, and make sure we're a go. I was querying the Tech Podcast Network folks today to make sure we had presenters ready for Saturday. So that will go down at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern, of course, at techpodcast.com. It'll be simulcast here at geeknewscentral.com. Always full of great information, tips and techniques, and we have lots of cool stuff always to share. And presented, of course, by the team at Tech Podcast, and using GoToMeeting, really the world's best online conferencing solution. You guys will be able to see how we'll be able to switch between presenters, how we'll be able to basically showing all kinds of different styles and techniques and using the application. So I think you guys will get a kick out of that if you come over and watch the roundtable. Get a lot of great information, also get a good demo of GoToMeeting. Of course, you can get a free 30-day demo of GoToMeeting by going to GoToMeeting.com/techpodcast. That's GoToMeeting.com/techpodcast for a free 30-day demo. Again, thanks GoToMeeting for being a continued sponsor here at Geek News Central, and of course over at the Tech Podcast Network as well. All right, let me go ahead and look here. Yeah, we're doing good on time. And as I was going through stuff tonight, we did get some voicemails in. So I've got it looks like two voicemails that came from the same number and a third one from another listener. I haven't previewed those yet, so we'll get into those here at the end of the show. I believe we've got some emails to go through too. I was really slammed for time, and I feel like I'm 4 days behind on everything else. But really, that's what happens when you're on travel sometimes, that the meetings stay pretty busy, and you really, you know, find yourself coming back to the hotel and crashing, and that's really kind of what it was this week. So I want to remind you, of course, the Tech Podcast Weekly, the show that's over there at techpodcast.com. Check out the blog. Get a sampling of some shows from Tech Podcast. And let me go ahead and bust in here to my content that I've got. Hey, you know, as you know, I have quit using Firefox for the show. And the reason was it just kept crashing. When I would get too many tabs open, either this computer that I have here that I use as my, you know, my main machine for basically doing, you know, all of my, well, I do all my business on it and everything, but I also, you know, produce the show from this machine, get everything ready. And either it's getting older and not cooperating, or Firefox has become more unstable. So I'm using Chrome at this time. So far, I can tell it's definitely not using as much memory. And it might be a little slower to load via page switches, but Firefox is, boy, I hate to say it, but they've really, in my opinion, have slipped a little bit. So when I saw this article over on Lifehacker talking about five features we want to see in Firefox, I was pretty interested to see what they had to say. And number one, better memory management. I agree completely. You know, when I get 30, 35 tabs open, the memory usage could be as high as as high as 900 megs, maybe even a 1.3, 1.4 gigs. I've seen it as high it is. And when you're, depending on how much memory you have in your machine, you know, that's using a lot of memory for a single app. And a lot of times the Firefox just does not give up the memory. Even when you close it, it just, the processes stay open, and it's really irritating. Now, I know plugins can affect that, but they have to do something about the memory management in Firefox. And it's very evident, running Chrome, that the folks at Google have gotten a handle on, really, on the actual memory management of the application, because I don't see it using near as much memory as Firefox did. Number two, a syncing of everything. You know, I've been using Xmarks for a while to sync things, but you know, that should just be something that's common within Firefox itself. Backwards compatibility for extensions, and it just drives me nuts because, you know, every little update, half my extensions go bad, and I have to wait for the developers. You know, they need to keep that stuff backwards compatible. And then they have just a variety of other suggestions here. And if you're a Firefox user, I think this is, hits dead on. But you guys seen the same thing with Firefox? You know, as always tonight, if you have comments on the show, feel free to give me a jingle at our voicemail hotline at +1-619-342-7365. All right, next article up is over on Wired. Shareholders approve the Pirate Bay purchase. Yeah, this is kind of funny. For years, the Pirate Bay has been the mainstay of peer-to-peer. You know, they've been king of the hill. And after the trial, it just seems like the Pirate Bay was just slipping based upon all the actions the founders were taking. But as expected, the Pirate Bay has moved a step closer to being sold to a Swedish-based software company. Really, that hopes to turn the BitTorrent tracker into a legitimate pay-to-play site. I hate to say it, folks that are doing peer-to-peer on a regular basis, they're just going to go find another peer-to-peer tracker. Now, there's some more attacks on different peer-to-peer hosts. We'll talk about that a little later in the show. But they're still operational. They haven't shut down, really any of the trackers or anything. So it's still up and running, those of you that may or may not be using the service. But I think the days are numbered, especially if they're going to make this site a pay site. And now that it's switched owners, would not the new owners automatically be, you know, liable? You know, they would be the next ones that the recording industry would go after. It really, I would imagine, as soon as the sale is final, that things dramatically would change on the on Pirate Bay, but we will see. A little dehydrated from my flight, so got a big tall glass of water here and trying to rehydrate. I actually got a couple hours sleep on the flight back, and which was unusual because on a day flight, I normally don't sleep, but hey, you just get the Z's when you can, right? All right, over in the Dutch National Museum, they are reporting or saying that one of the rocks that was brought back from the moon by U.S. astronauts, which was given to the Dutch by the United States, they are claiming that the rock that was brought back is nothing more than petrified wood. And this is a pretty strong claim here that they would say this. And, you know, this is a story that I'm sure is going to see more press coverage here. I'm reading this over on abcnews.com. And, you know, to say that they have found petrified wood from a rock from the moon is significant. And I'm sure scientists are going to be looking at this a lot more. Maybe NASA's going to weigh in. I don't know. But we'll see what develops on this, because I don't think that this has ever been a claim like this has ever been made on any type of rock or debris that has been brought back from the moon before. Now, this was was actually retrieved on Apollo 11, so it makes it a pretty significant piece of moon material. But we'll see. We'll see what happens with this, if this develops into more. More commentary. Hey, there's a if you're a structural analysis type of person, over on YouTube, there's a 9/11 impact video that basically recreates some structural stuff that happened to the World Trade Center after the impact, and it's kind of an interesting video. Don't know if you're interested in it. I have it linked up in the show notes. I've never seen that specific type of view before, but. They're still studying that collapse of that building. So it tells me that the scientists and structural engineers are trying to really figure out, ways to make buildings more, you know, essentially stronger and not as susceptible to a collapse like that in the future. All right, over on Adweek, there's a study done saying that social networkers are more vulnerable to attack. And of the 250 consumers surveyed in the second quarter of this year, 64% said they change their passwords infrequently or never, and 57% fail to adjust their privacy settings on a regular basis. They also say that 21% accept contact offerings from members they do not know, 26% share files within social networks, and 64% click on links offered by contacts, which is, they're saying, complicating matters is the fact that more than half the people sold, they let roommates and friends sign onto social networks using their own, using their particular computers. So they feel that this is raising the vulnerability of folks that are using social networks. I very rarely ever allow anyone outside of this household to log on to websites. You know, there might, Shoko may have a friend over or something that is using the computer, checks email or something, but it surprises, well, I guess it shouldn't surprise me too much that people are, you know, sharing their computers. Maybe they're out doing something or at a party or at work or, so it is kind of interesting to see this, but they're saying that 55% of the respondents have encountered phishing attacks through these social networks. 47% have been victims of malware, and almost 20% have experienced identity theft. Now, 20%. Now, this is the thing that really got me here. They only surveyed 250 consumers, and 20% of those people have experienced some form of identity theft. That is an amazing number. Now, what I like, this is, audience is huge. So there has, if you know, if many of you are using social networks. So what I'd like to hear from all of you, and you don't have to give me the details, but who in this audience has been a victim of identity theft, and how do you think that the individual got your information? Do you think that they were able to derive information from your social networking sites? Did they? Do you feel your computer was compromised? I'd love to hear you guys, because it's, you know, a huge number of you use social networks. So that if this survey is correct, and I think 250 people being surveyed is a really low number, but that's an incredible number here, 20%. So love to hear from the audience on this. Geeknews@gmail.com. Of course, call on the voicemail hotline at +1-619-342-7365. If you are playing around with PHP, and of course PHP is probably the most common architecture being used on the internet today. I know that most of our websites at Raw Voice are coded with PHP. They got a pretty cool PHP cheat sheet here. And this is great for beginners and maybe even those of you that are advanced programmers. Lots of samples of code and different ways to use variables and so forth. But I'll have this link up to you in the show notes. How many of you are familiar with FFmpeg? Really, you know, FFmpeg is used, it's a cross-platform solution to record, convert, and stream audio and video. It's a code that you can license, and I think actually we use it. I think I've heard Angela talk about FFmpeg before, and I know Angela, being a software developer, he's really careful to make sure we license everything we use. But there's a hall of shame, and this is pretty amazing that they would post this. They put this project up, and they have listed all the companies that they're tracking that are using the FFmpeg code without a license, and you look through this list, and you're like, oh man, you look through there and make sure you're not on this list. Now, the list isn't too huge, and it doesn't apply to really anybody that I'm familiar with here, but I think this is a good way for software companies to, you know, kind of subtly pointing a finger at development companies and saying, hey, you know, you're illegally using our code, and you don't have a license for it, and because you're not, I'm going to basically put your company name and so forth and a link to your company on this Hall of Shame. So what a way to get companies to comply, right? All right, over on MikeBrownsPlanets.com. And first time I've ever been over on this guy's website, but he does a weekly column on space and science, talks about planets, and of course talks about the sun and the moon and the stars, everything it's in you know, you would expect an astronomer to talk about. But he has got a report on his website that's gotten some pretty good coverage today, talking about fog on Titan, and he has put his peer review online. So he's written up a paper, and he is looking for feedback online, and this is a interesting experiment here. So we'll see what comes of this. His actual paper that he's put on is over on the Caltech website, so it's not like he's just got it anywhere, but he's got a pretty good write-up on his website. So he feels that Titan has fog at the South Pole. Now, you know, I guess we shouldn't be surprised about this. You know, Titan is a pretty it's pretty active, considering it's a it's not a it's in orbit, and it's getting a lot of gravitational forces exerted against it from the from its home planet. So I guess we'll have to see what the peer review on says, what the peer review on this says. But pretty cool review and pretty cool discovery that fog is on Titan. And if I remember correctly, Titan actually is a moon of Saturn. If I probably got that wrong, but I think so. How many of you have bought the premium accounts over at LinkedIn? And I don't know how long this has been going on. You know, I've got a LinkedIn account. Many of you do. Of course, if you want to follow me on LinkedIn, really all you have to do is search my name and you can follow me over there, request to be followed. But they have now a Business Plus, and a Pro account. The Business account is $249 a year, with the Business Plus being $499. And the Pro service, check this out, $5,000 a year. And I'm looking through here, and I'm saying, okay, what is the difference? And really, what they have done here is, as I'm looking through this, and I'm like, is it worth the upgrade to go to the business premium, the $24.95 or $249 plan per year? And really, you know, we've run some help wanted ads on LinkedIn before, and the pricing on that's pretty good, and we've gotten some good results. Matter of fact, this is how we have found our salespeople. And but I'm looking through this. I don't know if I would really upgrade to this or not, but I'm kind of curious if any of you have, and you know, what the advantages that you've found by upgrading to a premium account over on LinkedIn. They're obviously looking to you know, cash in on all this data here, this professional data, but I guess I don't use that resource enough to consider actually paying that type of money for an account. Over on TechCrunch, 25 years later, the first registered domain name changed hands. The first registered domain name is Symbolics, S-Y-M-B-O-L-I-C-S.com. It was registered originally on March 15th, 1985, by the now defunct Massachusetts-based computer manufacturer Symbolics, and it's been sold to a domain name investment company for an undisclosed amount. But 25 years. Now, I've got a domain. What is... How many years have I had Hafadai.com? Let's see here. I left Guam. What year did I leave Guam? I left there in 91, 94. So I think I registered my first domain name in 1993 was the year I registered my first domain. And, you know, I think about that time period. And the domains that were available, I was definitely leading edge, because, you know, most people said, you have a what? A domain name? What is that? You know, that was really before the World Wide Web got kicked off. There was not even a rudimentary browser hardly at that point in 1993, 1992 timeframe. And So when I picked up that domain, I think I spent like $70 a year for it. It was really painful to get, but kicking myself now, I wish I would have invested in a bunch of domain names. But 1985 was the first year domain name was registered. The second one, I believe, was actually for some of the original ones were bbn.com, think.com, mcc.com, dec.com, northrop.com. You know, so not even these were really any hardcore domains. BBN was a, you know, was one that ended up being very valuable. But, you know, if you think about that, you know, back in 85, 86, if we'd all registered a few domain names, we probably all would be sitting on the high horse with plenty of money in our bank accounts, because little did we know how valuable domain names would become later. All right, over on MozillaZine.org, it's Ace Adulcer's website. He talks about an article that came out a couple of days ago talking about the number of people that have refused to upgrade to Firefox version 3. And apparently, it's from individuals that are concerned that as they type, if you know, on Firefox, if you're in the address bar and you start typing a domain name, other domains that you have visited have happened to pop up, and they actually show a list of them. Well, the reason that a small percentage, I guess 1.5% of Firefox users have not updated, they have cited that what they call the awesome bar. Now, that's the, you know, basically where you're typing and it shows the different things that you have searched. The reason is because these individuals are saying in feedback that they don't want other people discovering adult sites that they have visited. So, you know, if you type on Firefox and it lists 5, 10, 15 domains, and if it happens to be the first letter is a letter of a domain that maybe you don't want other people to know you've went to, is there one reason why people haven't updated? You know, I'm thinking to myself, just clear the history. You know, they're worried that much about it. But kind of an interesting reason why a small percentage haven't updated. All right, over on Engadget, a dual screen laptop by G Screen. There's a picture of it online, and I'm looking at this thing, and I'm thinking, awesome. I'm totally stoked about this dual screen laptop, because you guys know I've spent a lot of time on the road in the last couple of years, and this thing's going to be expensive. No, it's going to cost $3,000. Oh, that just scares me. It really does. It's going to have a dual cores. I wish it had a quad core for that type of price. You're going to be able to put, there's going to be an NVIDIA GeForce 900 MGT graphic card and a 7200 RPM drive, which explains some of the cost in it. But this dual screen feature, what it is it just folds out. And you have two 15.4-inch displays. So while it makes the notebook thicker, and if you have a, you know, if it's a pretty powerful machine like it's, you know, it's indicating it's going to be, this is the deal, folks, here. That's going to be a traveling machine. It really, really will. And I would be very, very tempted to buy this computer, because when I go on the road and I have a single laptop screen to look at and I don't have multiple screens I can work from, especially when I'm trying to do stuff, it sucks, quite honestly. So G Screens plan to have this available here shortly. So keep you informed on this. I'm gonna be writing to this company and saying, hey, I'll do a review of this. I know Lenovo, Jeffrey says Lenovo has a pull-out screen, but this is completely different, Jeffrey. This is two full screens. And I think once you see it, you'll understand why it splits them, so you can actually get two halves and use it like a dual screen, like you'd have a dual screen on your desktop. So very, very cool stuff here. Link, of course, to this will be in the show notes. All right, Time Warner's TV Everywhere trial to start. But apparently, well, you know, they announced last month that they were going to do this. Basically, TV Everywhere is you can watch any program, anytime, day or night, long as it's already run, you can basically pull up The Tonight Show. You can pull up Lost. You can pull up movies. You can watch the TV shows you want to watch at the times you want, anytime you want to, because they're going to be on demand. And Time Warner is going to essentially turn on 5,000 customers in select markets and be involved in trials starting over the next few months. There's no word yet on how much it's going to cost or what extra shows or movies you might be able to get, but both Time Warner and Comcast are going to be making this available. You know, I really get my DVR fix about twice a week. Friday nights, I have time to catch up a little TV, and maybe Sunday I watch a little bit. But I don't know. Would you guys watch more BloobTube if you... You know, because there's only so much you can record on your DVR. You know, my DVR, maybe it's a little older. It holds, you know, I have to erase a bunch of stuff every week because I'm competing with the kids. I'm competing with my lovely wife. We all got two or three programs on there that we record. And pretty quickly, you run out of space. But I wonder how many of you would use this really anytime, anywhere. I guess this TV Everywhere trial. Would you use it? Would you pay for it? Would it be worth it? That's the question, geeknews@gmail.com. All right, for those of you that are iPhone fans, Facebook 3.0, the new app is available. So you can go out and update your Facebook app. If you've already got it loaded on your iPhone, it will probably automatically update. Pretty good reviews on that. So far, I haven't updated my app yet. I'll do that tomorrow and give you a report on it on the next show. Hey, and Amazon today announced the Amazon Virtual Private Cloud. This seems to be pretty cool, and I was actually I have to call Angelo in the morning and see how this fits into our architecture upgrade. But the Amazon VPC lets you create your own logically isolated set of Amazon EC2 instances, and it connects to your existing network using a IPsec VPN connection. This offering lets you take advantage of the low cost and flexibility of the AWS service, and then also basically leveraging what you already have, the investments you've made in your IT infrastructure. So this is pretty cool stuff here, and they give a little bit of a diagram, and they have a picture where they show your isolated EC2 services, and then the VPN that interconnects to your current network. Pretty cool stuff. It really, really is. You know, we're looking at a lot of the stuff that Amazon is doing. They've actually got a CDN service now available. The pricing on their CDN service is a little bit cheaper out there than some of the competing CDNs. I think for beginner accounts, you can get transfer of data at 17 cents a gig. And many of the VPNs out there start pricing at 19 cents a gig. Of course, the 100 terabyte mark is the place where you want to be because that's where the cost gets considerably lower. But it's pretty cool to see what Amazon's doing. Is any podcasters out there using the Amazon CDN right now to service your media for your podcast? I'd like to hear your feedback on the performance you've seen on it and so forth. Right now, we continue, the Raw Voice team continues to use a CDN that's out of the East Coast, and they've had great success with it. They've been good to us, and we plan to continue to use them, but we are making some infrastructure changes and are definitely looking at the Amazon CDN as a, you know, a possible solution to really streamlining some of the stuff we're doing and our hosting of our media for our hosting customers. All right, Robert Scoble has a blog post up that says, RSS, interesting or boring? It seems that RSS has been under the attack recently, and I really don't I don't get it, to be honest with you. How many of you are still using RSS readers on a daily basis? Or are you using Twitter? Are you using Facebook? Or what are you using to get your news right now? Robert is claiming here that he is seeing information on Twitter, and he's seeing information on Facebook and friend feed as much as a day sooner than what it's appearing on websites like TechMeme and so forth. And I said to myself, a day? you know, how can that be possible when, you know, most of these guys are going to like TechCrunch and giving them exclusives, and you know, they're the ones that are breaking a lot of the stories on new tech stuff. But he's got some links in here, and he's got a database of about 1,700 favorites that he used on Twitter, and some searches and so forth. So I'm going to have to check all this stuff out. Robert's definitely pushing the edge here, but I have just not found. Maybe I'm not subscribed to the right people or following the right people on Twitter. And I'm definitely going to have to look at what he's doing. But if he's gaining that much information that much faster than what's available through normal channels, there's definitely something to this. But I don't think RSS is dead. Obviously, you're getting this podcast via the RSS feed. But are you using Google Reader? Or are you using FeedDemon? What are you guys using right now to get your news fix on non-Geek News Central podcast days? All right, Scoble has another article here, and I think I'm going to implement this myself. It is it's a real-time commenting system, and this is pretty cool. It's by Disqus. They've changed what you're able to do is – really, you type in your comment, put your name, email address in, website optional, and you post, and then you can stay right on the page, and if it's a popular article, as people come in and make other comments, you can see that information update, and you can have a conversation real time instead of reloading the page. Now, this isn't definitely going to make pro bloggers happy because they depend on those page refreshes to get the page counts in, but one thing that I am surprised about, he says that they're seeing a 10 times increase of time spent on page by people that are visiting are coming to the article. So a 10-time increase in time spent on individual page is huge. One thing that we've noticed, and I follow this pretty closely, I watch how long people actually stay on the Geek News Central website when they're reading articles. I kind of look at that average time to get a really kind of an idea whether or not people are really reading the articles or if they're bouncing in and immediately leaving. And it kind of gives me a perspective on how good the content is. And one thing that we've noticed that on the website at blueberry.com is the hang times are very, very long. People get on the website and they just stay there. And they go between different profiles. They listen to a variety of shows. And their hang time on the website is pretty high. And matter of fact, the highest of any website that I've ever managed or had, you know, access to statistics to see that. So this is an interesting experiment because really the Geek News Central website, once in a while we get a real hot comment thread. But not all the time. This is not heavy on comments, but we're definitely going to be checking out what they're doing here and this new commenting application that Scoble is using. And we'll keep you advised. You may see that pop up on GNC at some point here in the near future. All right, Snow Leopard is today. Today's the day that Snow Leopard comes out. Many of you have probably already pre-ordered, or you'll be going to the Apple Store to pick up your copy today of Mac OS X version 10.6. A lot of reviews about Snow Leopard today and what's coming in the release. And it, from all intents and purposes, it appears from everything that I've read so far that we're not going to see a huge number of eye candy changes, but Apple spent a lot of time in the back end of the operating system putting in anti-malware, you know, basically putting in protection for Mac users, more protection than there already is because they're feeling that the operating system is starting to become a higher threat target of hackers. They have changed the engine up a little bit, so you should see more performance. So there's a lot of stuff going on behind the hood now on Snow Leopard, and there are some unique changes. If you are a Microsoft user and you have to have access to an Exchange server, well, now for the first time, Snow Leopard is going to allow you to connect to an Exchange server, which is big for those in the business community. So we're going to see probably a lot of reports tomorrow on Snow Leopard and a lot of people's opinions. So we look forward to seeing reports on that. I'll be upgrading both the Macs here probably next week sometime. I won't do it initially. I'll probably do it later next week when I get more time, but I'll be looking forward to seeing the updates. And, of course, I want to hear all your comments as well. As you guys get the new operating system that costs $29, definitely send me your comments, and we'll get them on the podcast for next week. All right, over on the Google blog, actually the Google Lat Long blog, this is for Street View. Street View's got some cool stuff now that's available that they've turned on. If you want to find a business with Street View, all you really do is you go in and you type what you're looking for, hardware store, Mexican restaurant, whatever it may be, and on maps, the actual Street View picture will show of a, for example, a Thai restaurant, gives you a little bubble pop-up, and you can actually get an image of the actual place. And this is kind of a cool thing because sometimes I've searched for restaurants and gotten a list and picked two or three and then drove by a place and, you know, kind of did the old street look eyeball and you go, I'm not going in there. I think we've all done that, right? The outside appearance of a restaurant has a lot of weight on whether or not we go in. So I think this is smart by the folks at Google of tying this Street View into the search feature so that you can actually get a look at the restaurant before you actually go in. Now, you start adding reviews, then we're really going to be smoking because people can go in and write the reviews of the restaurant. And not only will you get to take a look at the place, you'll be able to get a good location, but you'll be able to get a review. And they also, at the same time, give you nearby businesses. So let's say you want to go there and eat dinner, but afterwards you maybe want to go have a drink at a bar or go to a club. You can do a nearby search of this business to see how close some sort of establishment that you're looking for is to that. So that's smart as well. So have a link up to this on the show notes. I'm sure many of you will be using this new features very, very quickly. All right, new attack cracks common Wi-Fi encryption in minutes. In a minute. Computer scientists in Japan say they developed a way to break the WPA encryption system used in wireless routers in about 1 minute. The attack gives hackers a way to read encrypted traffic sent between computers and certain types of routers that use the WPA Wi-Fi protection. The attack was developed by a gentleman at a university, actually Hiroshima University, and they're going to discuss further details at a technical conference set for September 25th in Hiroshima. So I'm sure we're going to see a lot more information on this. But, you know, this piles on a prior attack on the WPA encryption of the wireless protocol. And but this, you know, being able to break the encryption in a minute is pretty scary stuff. So, you know, maybe it's time to up the ante in the encryption level you have on your Wi-Fi device. I'm sure that very shortly, if not already, there's probably tools out there to make access or crack crack into a wireless device that's locked down with WPA. Let me look at the time here. Okay, we're doing okay. Engadget has a pretty good review on Snow Leopard. I should have talked about this earlier, but I have this linked up in the show notes. They've covered a lot of the major changes, so I have this linked up for you. You can check out. Engadget also has the a steam-powered Batmobile set a land speed record of 140 miles per hour. So, you know, there is different strokes for different folks. It's available. Video's available on YouTube, of course, but I have the link up here. But yeah, steam-powered Batmobile, and I'm thinking to myself, steam-powered. Does that mean they had a steam engine in it? No, not quite. You guys will see what I'm talking about when you read the article. So, automobile buffs, you guys will get a kick out of this. All right, FTC has dropped the hammer on pre-recorded robocalls. And, you know, I'm on a do not call list. I've got all my phones on the national do not call list, and I continue to get those robocalls here. And but the FTC next week will make automated robocalls illegal for most telemarketers. There's also a list of exceptions mean that calls will continue as charities, politicians, banks, and telcos can continue doing their pre-recorded pitches. they're the ones that primarily do it. Charities, politicians, banks. So I guess we'll be hearing from those folks continuing to. Best thing to do is just hang up on them. That's what I do to telemarketers. Actually, I put the phone down on the counter and let them talk. And I usually just walk away and run their minutes up. But if you get a robocall after next week, it's going to be banned. If it isn't from one of those unless it's from one of those accepted companies or charities and so forth. All right, over on BBC, I'm actually getting a little punchy here. I'm actually doing pretty good on the time chain back to Honolulu, but I can feel myself here getting, as the evening progresses, getting a little bit punchy. As someone said in a Twitter, said, oh, we're going to have another Todd Tired cast tonight. So we'll get wrapped up here in a little bit. All right, over on the BBC, FileShare TV Taste revealed. They're saying that millions of television viewers are now using illegal file sharing service to access free and unauthorized copies of programs, research has revealed. Well, no kidding. People are going out and downloading popular TV shows. It said around 55 million people downloaded the show. Actually, which film? Oh, U.S. drama Heroes was the most popular illegally downloaded television show this year, according to the research firm Big Champagne. It says around 55 million people downloaded the show. Well, 51 million choose to access Lost, the second most popular show. Visits to leading torrent sites to include video and music files have also doubled in the last year. So all of the programs in the top, all the programs that were downloaded in the top 10 were American. So it just goes to show you that the American television groups, those that make television shows like Lost and all these other shows that people want to see overseas, they need to figure out how to get this stuff online so people don't have to go down and download it, give them access to it. You know, they got to find a way to monetize that. It just doesn't make any sense. If 55 million people have downloaded the show Lost, or Heroes, excuse me, and, you know, you would think that 55 million or maybe 25 million people would be willing to go to a website like Hulu or another site like that and watch the show online with the advertisements without having to go through, you know, the pain of going to peer-to-peer site and downloading the show that way. But we'll see. It just goes to show you that there's a big market out there for content. The most popular film torrents was The Watchmen, The Curious Case of Benjamin Button, Yes Man, Twilight, Fast and Furious, Gran Torino, Slumdog Millionaire, Bolt, Australia. Actually, the movie I saw on the flight back today was called The Soloist. A pretty good movie, not too bad. I don't know if it would be it might be worthy to put on your Netflix or your Blockbuster list. Soloist was a pretty good movie. Based on a true story. That was the movie on the airplane coming back today. The FCC is really getting ready, it looks like, according to Business Week, to put the hammer down on mobile companies. And they're doing a big review on, of course, the most advanced mobile phones like the iPhone, BlackBerry, the Pre. And it looks like to me that the FCC is going to get a little more hands-on, and maybe there will become a time here soon where the FCC is going to get this market a little more open than it is already. And, you know, the mistake that Apple made, they should have approved that Google Voice app and just kept on moving forward, because that was really kind of what really caused a time shift here. Not a time shift, but a shift in the FCC stance. So we'll have to see what happens with this as time goes on. But there's some hearings. There was a hearing in Washington where they signaled that it's preparing to scrutinize the data services and software available on these mobile phones and whether wireless carriers are inhibiting competition. So that continues to go forward. All right. Feeling rambling here. All right. FBI is investigating laptops sent to U.S. governors. It appears that someone has bought a number of laptops from basically ordered them from HP and have delivered laptops to governors or governors' offices in 10 states. Four of the orders were delivered, while the remaining six were intercepted, according to a source who spoke on a condition of anonymity. because of an ongoing investigation. Imagine that. You know, you work in the governor's office, and all of a sudden, you know, two or three new laptops show up. You know, your first indication would be like Christmas has come early. You know, you see new laptops come into an office, it's all automatically like a power grab to see who's going to get them first, right? Well, as the very savvy, tech-savvy IT people were like, hey, we didn't order any laptops. Where did these come from? So they've been turned over to FBI, and they feel that this is a Trojan horse. In other words, hackers are sending new laptops to government agencies in hopes that they'll put them on their network and really opening up possible backdoors and so forth into those governmental networks. Same thing they're doing as well, are hackers are leaving USB sticks, basically, you know, dropping them in and around governmental offices, hoping that government employees will pick them up, take them and put them in their machines and, you know, infect their computers. So be very careful out there. If you find a, you know, you find a USB stick, probably the best thing to do is to throw that thing in the trash. You know, I don't think if I found a USB stick, I would be very, very leery about putting it in any computer. As cheap as they are, it's not worth the risk, that's for sure. But, you know, those of you that listen to the show that are in government, you're a government employee, hey, you know, share this information with your coworkers and be on the lookout for these Trojan horses showing up as new laptops. All right, Microsoft has got a quick Word appeal. Microsoft appeal against the injunction to stop selling Word has been fast-tracked, but the judge refuses to nullify the injunction altogether. So they're going to get a hearing on September 23rd. Microsoft continues to believe the court erred in its interpretation and application of the law in the case. And they're going to be going to a hearing on September 23rd to try to get the injunction appealed. So we'll see what happens here with this. But the battle continues with Microsoft and this patent holder. Good news for those of you that are traveling overseas. The Obama administration on Thursday put new restrictions on searches of laptops at U.S. borders. As we've talked about in the past, you know, you can be coming through a border, you know, basically coming into customs immigration and have your laptop seized really for no reason. And they really didn't have to give you your laptop back anytime soon. But because there's been so many complaints that federal agents have been rummaging through travelers' personal information, they have made some policy changes. Now, while the practice is going to continue, the directive is that has been put in effect immediately. It said that our supervisors must be present during the search. The Customs and Border Protection official can keep the electronic device and information on it only if they have probable cause to believe it's used in connection with a crime. But now, if there's no legal reason to hold the information, it must be destroyed within 7 days. Officers must consult agency lawyers if they want to view a travel-sensitive legal material, medical records, or a journalist's work-related information. Immigration and Customs Enforcement agents cannot keep the property for more than 30 days, depending on the circumstances of each case. This is big. This is a big change. It's not the best thing, but you're definitely there's still some Fourth Amendment issues here. You know, where that by the Fourth Amendment, we are covered against unreasonable search and seizure. And so be careful of what you're crossing the border with in your laptop, because the border agents can take that device and go through it and see what's in there. And if you have something that you shouldn't have in there, stand by. All right, I think we've talked about this a number of times, but over on Reuters, they're highlighting how criminals are using Facebook, Twitter to find targets, okay? Big thing was going on in Sydney. Facebook users enthusing about an upcoming holiday or recent purchase of high-tech gadgets may not just be telling their friends, but also potential burglars. And this is a warning coming from an insurance company. A survey of 2,092 social media users by British-based Legal and General found nearly 4 in 10, or 38% of people using social network sites like Facebook or Twitter, post details about their holiday plans, and 33% details of a weekend away. So be careful out there, folks, and what you're talking about on Twitter, sharing new purchases and so forth. You all know that on a recent video that I did when I was walking around the house here, I basically ended it with, hey, by the way, we do have cameras and we do have a security system. And it's sad to have to do that these days, but it is kind of scary, some of the stuff going on out there, how we could be setting ourselves up. All right, another torrent site has been slapped down, Mininova. Scandinavian courts continue their smackdown of torrent sites. PC Mag reports a Dutch court has given Mininova.org 30 days to clean the site of trackers linked to copyright materials. So another torrent site is under attack and probably will be going down. Those of you that work in the U.S. government, you know, and matter of fact, I remember this from the days of being in the Navy. Every year you have to do an information assurance brief, and people are not real happy with someone has basically did a screen capture of some of the questions asked on this. And I don't know if this is if the person that did this is going to get in trouble or not. Probably, you know, it's just probably readily available if people looked hard enough. But there was one segment in here talking about basically downloading music at work and so forth. I can almost guarantee, you know, people are saying, oh, they're toting that downloading music is illegal. And why are they saying that all music downloaded is, you know, why not all downloading of music is illegal? Why are they saying this in this this information assurance awareness training? Well, if you're a government employee and you're downloading music at work, I can absolutely guarantee you, you're probably going to get a visit by your IT people, or your machine's going to be locked out. First of all, they don't put up with that at all. So I don't know why these people are complaining about this, but just... it's funny. And if you're not, you know, if you haven't worked on that side of the fence, it's not, because believe me, don't get me wrong, those of you that are IT people, we understand why you do this, but you don't work for the government, you don't download material on it like that and hope to keep your job. All right, ISP slow access to high bandwidth services 12 hours every day, and this is happening over. Well, it appears that some ISPs are not getting the word out, but an ISP in Netherlands has been slowing down traffic to high bandwidth services from noon to midnight every single day. This is over on DSLReports.com. I am sure what is going to happen is that any of you that are listening to the show in the Netherlands will want to check this out. I guess, what is the name of the company? Let me see if I can find it here. Actually, they don't name the company in this particular article. So I'll have this linked up. Any of you that are from the Netherlands or listening to the show, you can go and read this and maybe deduct who the actual company is to see if it's your ISP or not. And you can put the word out to them if you're unhappy about their throttling of services. How many of you used SlideShare before? SlideShare is pretty cool, and actually was directed over to a SlideShare that was done called Using Webhooks, and Mark Cuban's website linked to this, and this is a pretty cool service, Webhooks is, and I'll have the link up to the SlideShare site, and I'm not specifically pointing you to the SlideShare site. I want you guys to look at the presentation on Webhooks. It's here in the page. And this is pretty cool graphics, and this is going to get big. I really think it is. So I'll let you guys check this out via the show notes, either on the website or via the newsletter. Okay, this is that's the end of all the regular content for tonight. Let me go ahead and get into the voicemails, and then we'll get into the email comments. I think the first voicemail is... maybe someone got disconnected. We'll just see how this goes. Let me go ahead and play the first one.
Okay, that email address was CL.
Oh, well, let me try this again. Let me go over here to this voicemail.
Hey, Todd, this is Cody from Texas.
Hey, Cody.
First of all, I like that the gentleman on show 505 criticized you on your free show that he doesn't have to download for criticizing a product that he said you don't have to buy. That was hilarious to me. I love what you do, and enjoy hearing all your opinions, as they're always well-informed. And I'd just like to also make a comment on the sporting events restrictions that they're talking about. I think that's great for sports fans. That means that eventually it will be illegal for anyone to divulge the scores to their friends. So I think that's going to work out well for them. Anyway, take care, Todd. Thanks for the show, man. Really appreciate it. Take care.
Hey, you're welcome. You know, when I was when I first joined the Navy back in 1983, my first duty station that I arrived at was Guam, and I was there from 1984 to 1987. And one thing about Guam was, is if you were a sports fan, you were in a Hurt Locker, because all of the television shows in Guam was on a one week delay, tape delay. Because there was nothing that was brought in via satellite. Well, we'd get the Super Bowl live or maybe the final game on an NBA playoff or something. That would probably be about the only live sporting event we would see in Guam. And, of course, it would happen at some weird hour of the day. But I was a big NFL fan at the time. I watched every Sunday I had my feet propped up and was watching as many games as I could. So when I went to Guam, really, it was the best 12-step program I ever had. And in that, you know, by Monday afternoon or Tuesday, I'd already heard all this, already heard all the scores that from all the football games that happened, you know, back in the States. So really, it was no longer worthy going and watching the game later. And it probably was the best thing that ever happened to me, because it really was the best 12-step program out there. So yeah, what these sporting venues are doing by restricting the amount of information that they're allowing to be put on the web, you're absolutely right. Maybe you're going to be able to tape or DVR delay watching that game and not hear the scores and so forth from other sites. That's obviously wishful thinking, and I doubt that it's going to slow down the sites reporting scores and so forth. But you're right. It's interesting take that that these groups are doing and trying to suppress the amount of sports information being reported, unless you are officially licensed or if you're you're the big network who's paid all the money to report on the games. Thanks for your call, and thanks for your comments as well. Let me go ahead and play the next voicemail, and I think this is the one that we had a partial one here a second ago. Let me go ahead and play this.
Hello, Todd. Clint calling from Houston, Texas.
Hey, Clint.
Boy, it's great to be living in the state that has the widest listening audience for your show. And either way, I just want to tell you I'm continuing to enjoy your show, and keep on, bashing AT&T whenever they deserve to be bashed. Concerning the MMS issue with iPhone and AT&T, I think it's funny that AT&T is not offering MMS messaging at this time, but once you jailbreak your iPhone to work with T-Mobile, you can just MMS all over the place, pictures, videos, whatever. Upload video to YouTube, send your friends MMS messaging, videos, pictures, whatever. I find that rather odd. So I think that AT&T might get something handed to them in court. So there may be some merit to this case. We never know. Also, concerning jailbreaking iPhones, I'm glad I did it. My iPhone 3GS works better. And, in fact, it was funny. My iPhone 3G worked better when it was jailbroken. When I got my 3GS, it took less time for it to jailbreak than the 3G. And, concerning Google Voice, I wonder if somebody could send me an invite to Gmail. I will pause for a few seconds you can go and edit out my email address.
Okay, yep. I will.
Email address. Thank you.
Oh, jeez. I didn't get it shut off in time, Clint. So I'll get you an invite to Google Voice. Is that? I think that's what you said. You said Gmail there at the end, but I think it was Google Voice what you were looking for. I'll go back and listen to the voicemail. Probably will have had to have cut that voicemail back in editing so that we don't put your voicemail on the air. Hey, thanks for your comments. And, I have really, really wanted to jailbreak this new iPhone that I have. I've really had to hold myself back in doing so. Jailbroke the other one and got it really caught up to date. And I find myself, when I'm looking to play with some of the apps that are not been approved, I actually get my wife's phone now, and I add the app on there. And she's like, what are you doing? And, you know, why are you playing with my phone? So, yeah, I've been tempted to jailbreak this one as well. But so far I'm going to hold. I'm going to hold steady. And maybe I'll do it. I don't know. It's just they've been pretty good in keeping the door barred unlocked and staying ahead of Apple on their updates. And maybe that will continue. But it should be nice to be able to unlock that phone legally, like some people do in other countries, and not have to potentially void your warranty and so forth. All right, let me go ahead and get into the email comments. I got a few here tonight. I got an email from Logan, and Logan says, Todd, what are your thoughts on a program/process ownership when programs/processes are developed independently as a way to learn/practice APIs that were used as a part of a different integration project? The program/process developed as practice is better than the ETL system the company purchased for big dollars. I have a feeling I know what your thoughts are going to be. I think the company owns anything that is produced while in their employment, whether it is done after work or after work hours or during. Let me know if you need more information. You've been in constant in my ear since February 2005. Thank you for your service. Hopefully the skies will be clear for a night launch of the shuttle. Night launches are great to watch. Yeah, we've seen the shuttle get delayed a couple of times. So I think they're on track to try again tomorrow. So I guess what you're asking here is, what are my thoughts on an employee of a company who is writing or practicing on code that is generally being used in a different part of a project, or is a similar code being used in a different part of a project? You know, I think each company has their own policies. You know, some companies say, you are an employee of mine. Anything you code day or night, 24/7, is our property. And some companies are very strict on that. Other companies say, hey, what you produce during working hours is ours. What you do on your off time is yours, unless it is directly competitive or is, you know, very closely work associated. I would think that if someone was practicing or developing a process that was similar to what their employer was doing, I would think that the employer would probably own that process. Again, it would all depend upon the policy of the company. You know, at Raw Voice, we don't have a policy. You know, basically it's, I expect what Angelo programs for us is us, and what he programs for him is his. And I would never tell Angelo that, you know, what you do on your own time, it belongs to the company. I think he would probably come over here and put a whooping on me if I tried to do something like that. So, you know, I don't think when it comes to programmers are going to program. They're going to experiment. They're going to play around. They're going to build stuff. Whether or not their employer knows it, they're going to do it on off hours. It's just, you know, it's depending on how strict the company wants to be and how honest the employee wants to be about what he's developing after work as well. So I hope that's what you're looking for. Provide me some feedback if it's not. But again, I think every company has their own. And you basically, if you're an employee and you've signed an agreement, then, you know, you should live up to that agreement. So not that it's, I would think it was right, but it's, you know, it's basically what you sign as part of your employment practices. I got an email from Ryan. He said, hey, Todd, saw Glenn Beck on the tendering topic today on Twitter and made me think of this. The GNC logo was basically came from me sitting and flipping through the channels and seeing the Glenn Beck logo. I was like, wow, that would kind of be cool, something adopted for the GNC podcast. And he says, I buy from Amazon all the time, so an Amazon certificate would be great. Ryan, that contest was over a long time ago, my friend. I don't know where this email came from, but it just got in my inbox. Very, very strange. Okay, got an email from, this is a promo from Teen Tech Radio. And let me go ahead and play this let's save to disk. Let's do it this way. Save as. And we're going to put it in the promo. I should have had this queued up. Got a podcaster that's a teenager. He's doing a show. And it's called the Teen Tech Radio. And we're almost downloaded. Let me go ahead and add it to the queue here. Add file. Back up to promo 828. And let me go ahead and click on this. Let's listen to his promo here.
Attention passengers, this is your pilot speaking. We are now cleared for takeoff. Please make sure your laptops are in the upright and locked position and set to download the latest episode of the Teen Tech Radio podcast from teentechradio.mypodcast.com. During the flight, please feel free to email us at teentechradio@gmail.com. Again, you can visit teentechradio.mypodcast.com, where you can find out all about the only tech show on the internet, for teens, by teens.
Oh, very cool. Congratulations on putting your show together. Very nice promo, very clean. You've done a good job there. So this is from The Real Geek from the Teen Tech Radio podcast. Let me go ahead and get into the next email here. This is from Tom. He said, hey, Todd, here's a link about Camtasia for the Mac. Snagit for the Mac is coming soon, and he's giving me a link here. TechSmith has released Camtasia for the Mac, and this is pretty exciting stuff. And actually, Chris had told me about another program that was similar, but I believe you can buy the new version of Camtasia for Mac for either, what did Tom tell me, $99 or $149, one of the two. So I'm a big fan of Camtasia. I use the application a great deal, and so I'm looking forward to being able to put this on a Mac. What are you guys using? You guys, if you Mac Windows users, if you have Macs, what are you using equivalent right now for your Macs? And if you don't know what Camtasia is, it's a screen capture application. It's a really, really cool application for the PCs. I get an email from Yitz, tells me about Israeli invention prevents locking kids in car. I'll have that up in the show notes. Thanks for that, Yitz. Got an email from Trucker Tom. It says, hey, Todd, you may be interested in this NASA video podcast about Apollo missions to the moon. So I have this, Tom, when I got the email, all I got on this, my friend, was a box with no links in it. I'll have to dig this out, see if I can find it. Actually, I found the TIFF there. I'll see if I can pull the link out. Another email I got from Trucker Time was says, Japan robotics expert unveil sci-fi wheelchair. Have this link up in the show. I actually saw this as I was prepping today, but I didn't cover it. Thanks, Tom. I'll have this up. You guys ought to see this new sci-fi wheelchair that Japanese have produced. Got an email from Lamar. He said, hey, Ted, I think you do bash Apple more, but I don't consider you an Apple basher. I think the news has Apple in it more, therefore they are more open to get bashed. You do praise Apple when they do something praiseworthy, so I think the listeners are safe to know you're a geek and not a Windows zealot. At least I don't think you are. I don't try to be a Windows zealot. I try to be fair. I try to be an equal opportunity basher. Got an email from Roy. He says, hey, Todd, I'm in the Canadian Army. I work in Communications Central in Kingston, Ontario. Last week, we had some civilian contractors in our comm center installing a new air exchange system. I was chatting with one of the workers, and it didn't take long for us to realize we were both geeks. I told him that I like listening to podcasts, and the next words out of his mouth were, have you heard of Todd Cochran? Well, needless to say, we had some great conversations over the next few days, and we both agreed that 500 shows was a huge internet milestone. So that's it. You're an official internet legend. Thanks for all the great content. Roy out of Kingston, Ontario. That is too cool. Absolutely outstanding. I love to hear. See, cross-pollination is good. Geeks are listening. And I look forward to hearing from the other listener. So Roy, maybe he will, this will prompt him to send in an email. So very cool stuff. All right, got an email from Bree. Said, hey, Todd, those red box DVDs are rented by credit card. They're in major grocery stores, merchandise stores, and as you saw, but a surprise to me, McDonald's. The reason so many people rent those is that they cost a buck a day, and the vending machines are everywhere, making them close to the buyer's locations to return. I, for one, don't want to have to pay another monthly fee on top of all my other bills for movie rentals. Easier to just, if I'm in a mood, check what's new at Redbox, pay the $1 for an interesting movie, and bring it back the next day. Bree in D.C. Thanks, Bree. I got an email from Joey. He got his Summer Podcast Winner, the Podcast Madness. He got his coupon, so, or actually his Apple Store coupon. Great on that. All right, I think that's it, folks. That's all the voicemails we've got and emails today. Geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com. Voicemail hotline is +1-619-342-7365. It's been my pleasure to bring you the show. Be with you same time, same place next week. Of course, Tuesday night or Monday night, we'll be live recording as well. Tuesday morning release of the show. Thursday night live recording with a Friday morning release. Tell everyone about the show. We appreciate everyone's support and look forward to having a great weekend here. My son is actually participating in a hula contest. And yes, men do hula. And boys and young adults do as well. So him and his group are going to be performing. We're actually going to be doing a staycation. We're going to be staying overnight one night at the Hilton Hawaiian on Saturday night so that we can be there for his performance both Saturday and Sunday. So look forward to kind of the little mini break I'm going to take here, even if it's just a one-day deal. But we're excited to see his performance and I'll let you know how that went on Tuesday. I will say this, that the patience has paid off, and my daughter, who is playing the violin, has been made concert master of her 8th grade violin class. So that's a pretty big deal for a violin player in the middle school segment. So she's totally psyched about that. And if you don't know what a concert master is, basically it's the musician that comes out and stands in front of the orchestra and essentially tunes the orchestra to the make sure they're all in tune. And she's looking forward to being the concert master. So I'm pretty excited for her on that. Otherwise, everything else is going good here. Geeknews@gmail.com, voicemail hotline +1-619-342-7365. We'll see you next week. Everyone take care. Be safe out there. And aloha.